mean, even when I can't really tell you, you know, why he plays this at this point in the music, or, you know, just, it's sort of an automatic.
We clear. Here we go. Live from my mouth to your ears. It's another episode of Guessing from the Stands. It's your boy Earl 91.
The GOAT, the Hall of Famer, and you know, football's next champ, Miami Dolphins. Boy Jeff in the building.
You know what season's around the corner, like Jeff just mentioned, so you know who in the building, man. It's Coach Nye, man. How y'all doing today?
Es Dominican Don Dada Christian, mi gente, que lo que estamos aquí, estamos activos. Vamos a comenzar esta vaina porque está lloviendo afuera, pero fuimos a los fucking.
Ya tú sabes.
So yeah, good to hear y'all boys, man. Good to hear y'all boys. It's been a little minute, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, summer schedules kind of, y'all know how it goes, though, man. We kind of take a little break during the summer. Yeah. We revving up.
We humans. Look, we got lives.
Exactly. But I tell y'all what, y'all don't know if y'all boys know, but we going into July, which means we are exactly 30 days away from the last month of no football.
Thank the Lord.
We here, bro.
And then we have football until next February.
Oh, I just can't wait for that. Saturday, college football. Sunday, NFL. Relax.
Yes, sir. Whoa. You're being very modest. Let's break down the full schedule. Thursday night, you have Thursday night football by the NFL. And Thursday night, college football. Friday, you have Friday night, college football. Saturday, you got college football all day. Sunday, you got NFL all day. Monday night, you have Monday night football. You take a break on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then you're back at it for 5 days of football. The alpha sport, baby.
All right, yeah. You're absolutely right. But it's something about them Thursday games, bro. Like, I watch it because I'm a fan, but I don't know. They don't. I feel like
No. You sleep. Not this year was all right. Last year was poop. But the year before that had to be the greatest run of Thursday night football games ever.
What year
it was
that?
Literally hit about, after hit after hit, bro.
What you talking about, 2020?
Was it 2020? No, it had to be the year before that.
No, that was 2020. Well, you talking about 2019. When we
talking about 2019.
What you're talking about is the year that Kansas City won their first one. Yeah. That was that year.
No, it was that same year where the Chiefs played the Rams on that crazy game.
That was a Monday. Wait,
then that was 20. Golf.
That was 2018.
That was 2018 then.
Right. Yeah.
Every Thursday and Monday night game was.
Oh,
no,
yeah. Them boys.
It wasn't
live.
Missing.
Nope.
It was
not one
every,
game. They,
bro, I was like, oh, my days. And then ever since then, it's been straight just dog water. It's been bad.
Hey, that boys is live.
But to keep it real, that was kind of the last of everybody's real, like, prime of, like, our era. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like not being funny, but like that was, you know, the Steelers were winning 12, 13 games. The Rams had just come off a Super Bowl runner, went to Super Bowl. They Mahomes went to his prime. It was Brady last year going to the Super Bowl in the Pats. Like the Saints would do it. So yeah, that probably was like the last of the Mohegans. And then it was like in the next 2 years, shit changed for the better. And well, you think it got even better because you look at it like Burrow got in the league and once he came from being injured. Off the bat, like the dude was special. Josh Allen came into his own. Mahomes, obviously, leader of the pack. Lamar Jackson won. So, like, bro, I ain't gonna lie. It feels like we got that kind of season on the horizon again. I don't know what it is. I've seen it for football more than usual.
And after this draft class, too?
Hey, but hold on. Before we get deep into football, pause, because that's what, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna be talking about stuff. I had a question I wanted to ask since the NBA season's over. But it pertains to the NBA. So I saw on Instagram that Slam Magazine released their list of top 100 point guards of all time.
I saw that.
Everyone's in uproar because They ranked Ja Morant 15 spots ahead of Rajon Rondo.
It is crazy. So
they rock. They put Rajon Rondo at 45, the 45th greatest point guard of all time. Ja Morant, according to Slam, the 30th as of right now, greatest point guard of all time. How do y'all feel about that with Rajon Rondo, the career that he's had, being an instrumental part of what the Celtics were doing with KG and Ray Allen winning that championship and going to another finals appearance? How y'all feel about them ranking Ja Morant 15 spots above him this early in his career with really without doing anything for him?
I could understand it if it comes from the talent perspective, because black and white, he's a better talent than Rondo. And I don't think it's a conversation.
Right.
And it's that. But if you're looking at it from a basketball standpoint, from like just the pure point guard eye test, it's complete blasphemy. Because there's no way you can break down the game, watch the game, and tell me that Ja is a better point guard than Rondo as of now. Haven't seen it. Don't believe it. The film doesn't say it. But if you're going off of talent, and then the star factor, and then the big 40-point games and the crazy dunks and highlights.
But the thing is,
so it all depends on which aspect they're basing the list off of. At least for me.
Christian?
No, I was going to say, it still doesn't... Even talent, I don't say talent wise because I feel like we're
wrong. Hold on.
No, hold on.
Okay, all right. Yeah, finish, bro.
Saying, I just think so. Like offensively, yes, Ja got that. But for me, for a talent, bro, what Rajon did from his early Boston days.
Okay.
And offense, bro, dishing out. You talking about?
No, bro, Rondo was a lot. You know what I'm saying?
But that's what I'm saying. You don't see Ja dishing out 15 assists on a nightly basis.
So you're saying from a different aspect, you could say that Rondo is more talented offensively, depending on how you're looking at it. You're basically saying Ja's a more talented scorer, but if you're talking about overall, you would give it the more talented Rondo. So that does make for an interesting conversation because now we have seen players like Carmelo, a better scorer than a ton of other guys may be, but the way they control the game offensively makes him a better overall offensive player. You know what I'm saying? So that does make for a very interesting conversation. E, how you feel?
Well, for me, I don't know if I can go off the cuff and say that Rondo's a better offensive talent than him.
Yeah,
it's kind of the... So Rondo is a case of...
I feel like you can have a conversation about it. It depends on how you're looking
at it. No, you can, but it depends on what you're talking about for what makes a point guard a better offensive talent. Like, okay, I know that I'm probably going to get at most 8 assists out of Ja Morant on a consistent basis, and I may be stretching it on 8. Mm-hmm. But all right, cool. It also depends on what you consider offense, because for what it's worth, Rondo has had years of averaging well over 10 assists, and that is offense. I think that sometimes we only equate offense to scoring the ball.
But since led the league in assists 4 times.
Exactly. But since we're guys that understand the game, let's talk about it for what it is. As an offensive talent, it's hard to say somebody that also can get 30 by sneezing along with 8 assists is a better offensive talent than somebody who 30 or 40 may be his career high. I just ain't comfortable saying that. Now, the other issue that I have with that flat out is it's hard to compare somebody in their Ja's in his fifth year now, in their fifth year versus somebody who had a 17-year completed career. And I know that in these lists, a lot of time accomplishments mean more than actual Rondo work on the court. Yeah, bro, he got drafted in 06 and stopped last year. Yeah, that's about 17.
Didn't he play 17? Last year?
That's what I'm saying. He stopped last year. That's what I'm saying.
He retired this year?
I don't remember him. He didn't play this year, but I know he was on the Hawks last year.
Yeah.
So my point, and then to wrap this up, not to be long, because we got a lot of stuff to get to, but I'm not comfortable with saying it, but I can understand why somebody would. But again, that's kind of the things that they did about Jason Kidd versus other point guards, because he was a pass-first point guard. So in short, I think that Ja's the better offensive talent. But it really, on these lists, man, it depends on what you're ranking it as, brother. It's hard, man. That's really hard. That's
Dale, really real hard quick before we move on, Dale, how you feel?
I'm feeling wonderful. How y'all doing?
Well, nigga, I was asking about the question.
Nigga, the question. But hey, but my brother, I'm glad to hear that you're feeling well.
You know, no bullshit. That is good though. But
how do you know, who's better than
Slam Magazine released their rankings of the top 100 point guards of all time. They rank Rondo at 45 and they rank Ja Morant at 30. And a lot of people are saying that it's blasphemous. You know, it's like it's all over social media. But people don't really agree with that. We were just saying, you know, everybody was giving their individual viewpoint of how they saw, you know what I'm saying, the ranking and the separation between the two. And I was just asking how you felt about it.
Ja only got 4 completed years. How can you compare him to a 17?
Thank you.
Of course the guy should be higher. He led the league in assists 4 times. He was a multiple-time All-Star. I think multiple-time All-NBA. He won 2 rings. I mean, he was integral in both rings. He played for the 2 biggest franchises. I mean, obviously Rondo should be held in higher esteem. I believe Rondo got some all-defensive teams too, right?
Yeah, so, I think he got one.
That's what I'm saying. That's right.
Rajon Rondo... 4-time all defense.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so, I'm going to push back a little bit on that.
My thing is just about that. When you say, well, he played 17 years, he only made it 4 times. Just because you don't make all defense that year doesn't mean you didn't play good defense.
Bro, exactly. Like, there's level. There are top 10.
If you made it 4 times, you know what type of player he was on defense.
Mm-hmm. Bro, and thank you, Nar, because so many people get that confused. And there are 2 point guards in the whole NBA that get selected. And it's also unfair because if there are 3 all-NBA teams, there should be 3 all-defensive teams. I think that that's some bull crap. And we've said it on this podcast for a few times because all-NBA teams tend to be like the 15 best scorers. Like, exactly. Yeah. Bro, come on. And then it's like you don't value defense the exact same. So I'm with you, Nar. Like, just because of that, that's like, bro. That's saying that there's only 2 point guards in the league that qualify for that. And that's just not how it goes. In some years.
That means, so you tell me 28 other point guards, they don't play defense at all. Like, come on, bro.
Exactly. Or it's not possible that Rajon Rondo was the best for it, especially him. Like, bro, Rondo had the typical body of what you want for a facilitating and defending point guard. Like his hands were crazy.
Dwight Howard type with his shoulders.
Bro, like his shoulders were like, bro.
Long armies, yeah.
Yeah, bro, and he was athletic for him. He was at, now was he jumping out the gym? No, but that explosiveness, that ability to get up there.
He had no intangibles.
Exactly.
He had that basketball IQ that everybody talks about so
much.
Oh
my god!
But very few people have the tip of the iceberg type of IQ.
Right. And it's so crazy because just my last 2 years, well, it's been almost a year and a half now of getting into coaching. It's like you look at the game in a whole different way just from what you would want. Like if I had a kid that could facilitate like Rondo, oh my gosh, bro. Like,
right, do it.
Because it sets up
everybody. Do what we're trying to do, what the game plan was going into the game, because that's how we thought that we were going to beat this team. So we don't want to go into the game now playing one-on-one because we have more talent. I want a guy who's going to do what we're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? But now that's what I just want to know.
Well, listen, let's stay on basketball, though, Nar. Let's stay on basketball because I'm sure we got a bunch of other topics. First of all,
how do y'all feel about all these transactions so far since the end of the finals?
Yeah, we got the Beal move, we got the Chris Paul move.
Wemby went number 1. We got a lot of
since we haven't talked about that, that's one big move that I do. We can start with either Beal or Paul. I really want to start with Chris Paul because I feel like that's a really awkward situation for the Warriors to put themselves in, not because of a who needs the ball type thing, because we've seen Steph Curry play off ball. We will be one of the best players to do it. You know what I'm saying? He's a ball player. So, but it's just weird because you kind of took away a guy who could potentially, we don't know what he's going to be, a 20-point plus scorer a game consistently to a guy who doesn't really finish a season when you make it so far into the playoffs consistently. That's what we've seen. And at that, an aging guy who never was a really a bucket first guy. And it's not like you don't have a team that can run an offense. This team just won the season. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't necessarily know outside of chemistry and what happened in the locker room, with that being such a large fracture to the locker room that they got rid of him and the best player they could get back was Chris Paul. Outside of that, I don't know why the fuck the Warriors did that.
I personally love the move, the Chris Paul, the Golden State move, solely because I love his IQ. I think Chris Paul is one of the him, Bron, formerly Rondo, Draymond, are just off the dome are some of the highest IQs in basketball, like second to none. So him getting into that
I'm system, starting to put Jokic up there too, though. Honestly,
absolutely, I think Joker's up there as well. To. But not
to really, good caliber. Say it one more time. You started to think what?
I'm starting to put Joker up there with the high IQ guys. I'm just saying, Dale, real quick, Jeff, I'm going to let you get back to it. Dale, the only reason I'm saying now is I haven't really watched as much of him play. You know what I'm saying? I don't say things unless I see it. You know what I'm saying? So and seeing him in these playoffs, it's like, damn.
Who was that?
Huh?
Someone in the pod used to always tell y'all about him. Who was that?
Hey, listen, look, you there, might have there, to be there are, pass,
hold on,
nigga.
Hold on. I'm not gonna let you do that. I ain't gonna let you do that. We ain't gonna let you do that. There are two, count them, two guys who said,
No.
Hold on. Hold on, listen, because remember, it was always me, oh, how does he get the MVP? There's no way he could be three straight. I'm telling y'all, Joker is legit. He could be three straight. Now, hold on. Matter of fact, you're right. It is a little bit of revision. So Dale, you actually, well, you're a big man. Pause. You're a center truther. You know what I'm saying? If it's a chance for a center to be the best player in the league, you're going
now. Everybody on the pod just
No. Wait. Hold on. No. I can stand this. I'm not I can stand.
After they went to the conference finals against y'all, and
that's a fact. But to be fair, Jeff has always been high in my about his skill.
You know, I
from day one.
Got the Embiid Joker, and I always
any young coach.
Like, and I was day, always going with Jokic.
I think any day of the week, give me Joker over Embiid. Everybody's like,
what? And I'll be real. Like, I've always said Giannis is the best player in the league. I've been saying it for the last about 6-7 years. So I still stand by it. But you know, Joker.
Oh, I stand on
look,
that
man.
Too.
Look, man, it didn't come easy, bro. I'm sorry. Just do it.
But hey, let's not lose track, though. Let's go. Get off a tangent. But back to the Chris Paul move. I think with that IQ and his leadership and how he's able to put implement a winning environment and everything. Because people, regardless of how we want to look at Chris Paul, we gotta call it how we see it. He's always been in a winning environment. Even in teams that were losers prior, but when he's been there, always been a winning environment. OKC was a pack of mid. He got traded there. Everybody thought they was going to be in the lotto playoff team. Phoenix had a long run of being complete dog water. He gets there the next year, playoff team. Wherever he's been, it's been absolute success. You can hate him as much as you want. His body always gives out on him and when you most need him. Absolute fact. I won't take that away. But you cannot take the fact away that he always implements a winning system wherever he goes.
So, Jeff, let me pose a question to you.
Yes.
Let me pose a question to you. And you can go back to the young guys. Is it that Chris Paul has always been in a winning environment, or does he make the environment a winning environment by what he brings to the table?
Oh, no, that's exactly what I'm implying. He implements a winning environment. He turns these guys that are just and he gets the most out of them.
Yep.
Because like I said, you've seen Chris Paul play. High IQ. Knows where everybody's at. Points out all the plays. Knows how to put a guy in a spot before he even gets in that spot. He's like one of those quarterbacks that reads the plays before he even gets there. He just knows where everybody's going to be. And he knows how to put all his players in the right spot for them to succeed. And for the talent that that Golden State got that hasn't got over the hump yet, specifically Kuminga, a guy that has all the talent and the potential to be the next guy, I feel like a guy like Chris Paul can help him get there.
Hey, you know what? Jeff, I thinking about what Chris Paul has done to every team elevate, you know what I'm saying, everybody's play, you know what I'm saying, that I do feel like you are kind of right as far as
him bringing him there is more to elevate the morale of the team as opposed to what he actually X's mm-hmm. and O's. You know what I'm saying? And through that, the X's and O's will get better. So, yeah, it is a pretty good move. Jordan yeah. Poole just got thrown in the fucking wasteland, though.
You had to. That it was.
I don't know if I believe that.
Washington Earl.
No, they're gonna here's be a mid, but he's about to have himself a season.
Yeah,
because it's gonna be his world. He's about to have himself a season.
I think that this is gonna show whether what we saw from Jordan Poole last year, well, technically 2 years ago now, was legit. Because when it's on him, they're either going to sink or swim. Now, him and Kuzma could do some things. And then you get some pieces around them.
Kuzma free.
Right, but I believe that. Don't they have his
Hey,
his
hey what y'all right? say in the chat? I don't think 32 games.
No. Washington's going to be in the lotto.
32 games.
I expect them to, but he got 4 years left on that deal. If they don't turn into a playoff team with him out of them 4 years, then I'm with you.
But for right now, that's the point.
We're talking playoff team at all, Earl.
No, not now. Three years from now. If
no, in that 3 years,
he's supposed to get better. If he's not supposed to stay the same guy that he was. He's supposed to be getting better every year. So 3 years from now, if in a perfect world, obviously he's supposed to be, you know what I'm saying, all-star caliber player. You know what I'm saying?
And he like, could possibly be.
And that's what I'm saying. So now they're not going to be a playoff team, but 3 years from that nigga, they better be, or he didn't they're end not. Up what he was supposed to.
He doesn't have the game
yeah.
that elevates and produces wins. He's more of a complementary piece. No, not that if you have the type of player that can elevate everybody, he goes well. But I don't think his game is going to translate into wins. I think he might have a night where he's just nuclear. And that rim is the C, and he can't miss. He may go for 45, 50, and bring home a win. But his play night in and night out, I don't think that's going to translate into a lot of wins, in my opinion. I don't see that.
I hope for his sake that you are wrong, because people were very high on him to the point they were saying, oh, replace Clay. And it's like, for me, I don't think necessarily that replacing Clay. Although I do have a very, 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 very lukewarm take about this whole thing, but
what replacing Clay?
Well, here's
Clay needs to be.
I think God, now. Yeah, and the reason I say is because here's what you can do. If you do start CP, one, you can keep the perfect scenario is this: CP comes in as a starter, because I don't think anybody some hot water with his ability still and his legacy is going to be coming off the bench. I don't see him running a second unit as a bench player. I see him. I just don't see that. You can move Steph to the two. You really can. And his as much as Steph, because both of them can facilitate. So really, it's in this era, as Nard likes to call it, a positionless basketball. You can move Steph to the two. Exactly. So you got to figure you have CP, Steph, and Draymond who can facilitate the ball with the best of them in this league. I think if you move on from Clay, he has enough value. You can still trade for assets to build that bench back up, focus it on defense and scoring, and it'll kind of rebuild what your DNA was just a little older of what it was about 6 years ago. And I think because Clay still has some kind of tradable value, you look to facilitate pieces that will eat that contract up, especially going into this new CBA. You can do some things that this isn't a bad move whatsoever. And Steph is going to be Steph regardless whether he played a one or a two. Nonetheless, I think that we could really see a facilitation of if Clay is indeed gone, you still have Wiggins, who's a 20-point a game guy. Yeah. And I think that Wiggins has solidified himself, especially in that finals run, as bro, he's still young. He's about 26, 27. Mm-hmm. Bro, go ahead. Like, it's fine. It's A-OK.
Yeah, I agree. If you could find a way to trade Clay for Buddy Hield, that would be amazing.
Trading him across the bridge.
I would love that for them.
Well, it's not crazy, right?
It's not.
But it's not crazy. I just don't know if Sacramento would do it.
They would only be taking that contract for 1 year because they only got 1 year left.
Right. So
it's not like they're taking in a big haul. You'll take him for 1 year, an expiring deal, and then he'll be off your books. So I would love that. And then Warriors get a fresh legs. So I'm sorry, bro, but the man's a cone at this point, bro. A lot of knee injuries. He just doesn't move the same. He gives the effort, but he just doesn't move the same.
And in his mind, it ain't there no more.
He's still the same 28-year-old, so he still tries to take these highly contested shots and poor graded shots that's killing the offense, bro. It kills the offense. It's like they're doing well, and it's either a Clay or Poole taking the worst shot you can possibly need at that moment, and they'll take it, and it sucks the life out of the offense, bro. I can't do it no more. I can't watch it, bro. Something has to happen, or Clay has to come off the bench. So, I mean, personally, if they make a certain moves during the offseason, I wouldn't hate the idea of Chris Paul and Klay coming off the bench together. I think that can benefit them. If Kuminga takes the next step, I like Kuminga on the starting lineup. If you could find another shooter to put in there, Gary Trent, I think, should be a free agent as well. You can find a Gary
Trent. Gary Trent's available, yep.
You throw him at the two. Now you got Steph, Trent, Wiggs, Kuminga, and Draymond. Or if you can find a backup big that you can use when you have to go big that night, when you play the ADs or the Jokers and whatever. Or you can find a service like a Plumlee from the Clippers. You can find a Miles Plumlee. I think he's a free agent as well. That's a good sign. You know, 7-foot guy.
I'm gonna keep it real.
That type
is it
of
time
serviceable.
Is it time to unite the Splash Brothers in the league? Is it time?
What do you mean unite?
Look, if I'm them.
Oh, you mean Steph and Steph?
Mm-hmm. If I'm them, I try and make a play.
That I would. Hey, Earl, I love it, brother.
Hey, look. If Mike Dunleavy as a GM wants to come in and make a splash, as the GM that he wants to replace Bob Myers. Because what is Brooklyn like? Realistically, come on, Brooklyn. Like it's a fire sale over there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Everything outside of Mikal Bridges is off.
Trade Klay. Klay still would draw. You know, he's box office for them. And look, if Klay can still play, and Ben Simmons, you know, I'm giving too much. Look, bottom line is. I think it would work out well, and if I'm Golden State, I try to do it. It may be time for that to happen. It might. I like the idea.
I do too.
Yeah. But that being said,
yep.
I'm gonna ask y'all. You know, okay. Obviously, Wimby went number one. We don't have to stay
as you
on
should have.
As you should have. But I want to talk about Scoot and Brandon and the Thompson.
I'm sick of y'all with the Scoot Brandon shit. Like Brandon Miller is just a bum that they.
Yeah,
like,
No, I'm not at all.
No, I'm not saying. Y'all,
I know you're not saying.
I'm saying
me.
The media. Like, let me just get my point off.
Not just the media. Yeah. Don't forget the fan base.
The fan base is going crazy. Bro, Brandon Miller was the number one college player this year. We've been talking about him all year, but because they got y'all hyped up on Scoot, which Scoot is the truth. Don't get that twisted. But Scoot, I mean.
It was a win-win, but they're treating it like, you know, they got Hasheem to beat.
Exact, bro. They acted like.
I've seen that camera of inside the arena when that pick was made, and they were upset.
They were appalled.
You feel me?
I don't know why.
Like, bro, come on, bro. Like, Brandon Miller is the better fit, and Scoot is not that much better that we're going to need to replace.
Absolutely. He's
LaMelo
not
Ball,
a large
23-8-6. You know what I'm saying? He's not that much better than him to where you're like, oh my God.
No, they're right there. They're neck and neck.
Yeah. Brandon Miller probably going to be a diet Paul George. And if he's that.
And he goes number one in any other draft. And Wendy Williams right. goes number one any other draft.
You know, that's funny because I think Brian Windhorst was the one that said that. He's like, those next two guys in any draft, in a lot of drafts, they go number one easy. But it just happened that
I don't like that. Now
it just happened that, you know, this draft was with Wimby. And
now, Jeff, you and I have been on the same page about a lot of things, but this one we're particularly on the same page of.
What?
I'm going to put the first hot take out for this draft.
Go ahead.
Brandon Miller takes over Charlotte and they get the LaMelo that ain't his team, dog. I think Brandon Miller is about to have the same effect that Anthony Edwards does in Minnesota. Like, yeah, that's your cue. You talented at all, but you ain't focused on basketball. So I'm going to go ahead and take that team.
You know, I've been on that boat with LaMelo since before the draft. I was like, I'm not sure LaMelo is that interested in basketball. And to this day, I still feel the same. He's talented, don't get me wrong. Beyond talented. But when I watch LaMelo play, I'm not always 100% convinced that he's fully in love and fully dedicated to basketball. Don't be seeing it, bro. And I wouldn't be shocked if he came on Brandon Miller's team.
I'm going to shoot him a little bail.
They're a great fit together.
I'm going to shoot him a little bail as to why he may not be as in love with the game as we want him to. And he could be.
Could he play for Charlotte?
But he doesn't seem to get the discipline. He doesn't seem to have the discipline. For me, it's hard to love something. It's hard to love something. When you like the discipline and pay. When you've been given superstar treatment since you were 12 years old in the spot, like, bro, we're going on 10 years of knowing the Ball family. When you've been given superstar treatment and you've been a star since you were in the 8th, 9th grade, it's kind of hard. And we're even seeing it with Zion. And you know,
don't get me
that's why. Well, yeah, I'm just talking strictly basketball. That's why it's hard for a lot of these personalities that are kids to kind of to really come in the game and stay as focused. Like, think about it. We discovered Steph at Davidson, right? Now, granted, it is a different era, so we didn't have cell phones in our hands glued to the next 5th grade prospect. But at the same time, I call BS because we grew up on mixtapes of guys in high school forever. So, you know what I'm saying? Yes, but it's different when you have access to them from 8th, 9th grade. But when you've been a superstar, LaMelo Ball been seeing paparazzi since he was 12, 13 years old. So when nothing phases you and everything comes easy, you just got to hoop well enough to keep the bills paid, the expensive bills paid, and then you good. So I don't know, man. I mean, maybe overexposure is causing these kids to have that approach. And I'm not saying that before every player ever was dialed into their career. That's not what I'm getting at. But at the same time, it is a lot more prevalent today than it is prior. And it really starts in high school. I don't want to leave dead space there, but
I agree 1,000% with you. It is hard to get up in the morning and go to some shit that you hate and go to some shit that you losing, go to some shit that don't matter. How am I supposed to put the most work in when I'm around these bum ass niggas, when my GM is a bum ass nigga, when my owner is a bum ass nigga? Dog, I'm sorry. Michael Jordan is like trash.
Yeah, he's making terrible owning decisions.
He's a horrible owner.
He's a horrible executive, period. He sucked in Washington. He ruined Kwame Brown. I mean, I don't know how much better Kwame Brown would have been without him, but I know Michael Jordan didn't help. I'm just saying, like, bro, like, Michael Jordan sucks as an owner and an exec. Everything down from that, you're gonna crap rolls downhill. So everything down from that, you've seen it as LaMelo. Why am I going to dedicate myself? Why am I going to kill myself? Why am I not going to go out to the club? Why am I not going to drive my Lamborghini? Why am I not going to go and have fun? Why am I going to go and have an extra, you know, shoot an extra 100 free throws or shoot an extra 100 threes or work on this drill, work on that drill? Dog, I'm not sitting here in this facility with these trash ass niggas and supposed to, you know, kill myself. For what? for us to maybe make the first round of the playoffs? I don't know about that, dog. I don't know about that, big dog. I understand.
Yeah, has Charlotte made the playoffs since he's been there?
I think the play-in.
I think they made the play-in. The
play-in.
Because I know they made it in 2010 with Steven Jackson and Gerald Wallace. 2014 with Kemba.
Say that one more time.
Charlotte, have they made the playoffs with LaMelo?
Hell no.
They made it in 2010 with Steven Jackson.
They've been in straight hell since LaMelo landed.
Well, no, I know they made the play-in once. But I don't think the actual playoffs.
Yeah, bro.
But yeah. Nonetheless, Jeff, what were some of your takeaways from the NBA draft? You know what I'm saying? A lot of times, I don't necessarily want to talk about the guys who are notables, but, you know, give me some winners and losers of the draft and what you may see from this young prospecting class. Because truth be told, since you've been in coaching, this low-key is the classes that you've been coaching against. So I'm sure there's some talent out there that you've prospected on the AAU circuit and the grassroots circuit.
No, I mean, absolutely not. I mean, I've seen these kids, but absolutely not. Thank goodness. We're more of a newer and younger program, so we're not competing at those type of levels. So we haven't seen any of those kids, thankfully. Because the last thing I needed to do is see Anthony Edwards at 8 in the morning on a Sunday. No, thank you. Strong pass.
Yeah, I would skip the game and just go straight to church, too.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
That's not it, bro. That doesn't sound like a fun weekend to me.
I know that drive back home from the tournament, you quiet as
gonna be quiet.
Straight silence.
I have followed a lot of
because we ain't playing. Tell you that now. We going to McDonald's. We ain't playing. But go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
I feel you though. I have paid attention to a lot of these guys because they were on the scene when I first started. So especially just the Thompson twins, we played them when they were down here at Pinecrest, and they've been the truth, like since high school, since we saw them play. Extremely athletic. They're built different. They have that Kawhi build and mindset where it's like straight killer, no emotion. Literally, that's how they play. They don't say much. They pretty much only talk to each other. And it's like they're going off. You can be trash talking, or they may. Bro, I've seen they had a play where they like fast break, crossover, two dribble, poster one of our kids.
No emotion. Poster?
No poster, flat out poster, no emotion. And it's like that's how they play. They just get right after it. Plays over, next play, chase down block, steal, next play. Like they're extremely like just in the zone at all time, bro. It's they literally remind me of Kawhi whenever I see them play. And watching them go back to back is crazy because I knew Amen was going I knew he was going top five, without a doubt. But I didn't think Asar was going right after him like that. So now and I
was hoping Asar was going to the Magic, but you know.
Yeah, no, that's not happening, bro. Not sending him to the Gulag, bro.
You know what? Well, let's not say the Gulag. Because
the, Gulag?
The Magic as a young team.
They've been picking top seven for 30 years in their staff.
No, listen. Listen what I'm saying. Do they have bad management and bad ownership? Yes.
Yeah.
But I do want to put a little tidbit.
All these draft picks got to turn.
No, listen what I'm saying. I just want to put something out there. Since the All-Star break, when everybody's making their runs to try and make the playoffs and stand the third, the Magic were well above 500.
Good for them.
So I just want to put that out there.
But I do think this is the turning point for them with drafting Paolo. I think that's the turning point for the franchise. I honestly believe that.
Right.
So I think better is on the horizon for Orlando. But that's besides the point. Back to the Twins. I love both landing spots. I love Houston so much. With Ime as head coach, I love this team so much. I can't say it enough how much I can't wait to watch this team play. I think they need to move Kevin Porter Jr., though. I think that's toxic to the locker room. I think you got to get rid of him. And I think after you get rid of him, this team is on the verge to just pure stardom. And it's only a matter of time. If you keep Ime long term, I love Jalen Green. I love Sengun, the power forward. He reminds me a lot like Joker, a smaller Joker.
And don't forget Jabari Smith.
I'm not that big on Jabari, but we'll let me give him some time. It's only been 1 year. I'm not that big on him yet. He reminds me of Aiden.
Mind you, Aiden?
Aiden, yeah. Low effort, pouty, always in his feelings. And
well, that was his draft comp. That was his draft comp.
I've seen a couple games, and I don't like his body energy. I don't like the way if a couple shots are going, or if he's playing bad and they take him out, he's pouting. I'm not a fan of that. So
I think Ime ain't gonna put up with that. So
he's not.
But he's very young.
Ime gonna have his ass up out of here. So
that locker room, I know that locker room last year was completely toxic. So I'll give him another year to get it together. But what's called it is I love that the core they got going on right now. So if you can move Kevin Porter, I love this team a lot. I think they can develop and become like the next Boston or out in the West, where it's that group of three that's been developed and starts to dominate. So I love that. I love the Pistons move. I need Cade to be healthy because Cade's always injured, and I would hate for him to be the next what-if guy. Like, okay, we've seen talent from him, but he can never be on the court. I don't want him to be another Lonzo or whatever. So I need Cade to be healthy. I love what's Buddy that drafted last year, the two guard.
Who? What team?
Detroit.
Oh, Jaden Ivey.
I love Jaden Ivey.
Jaden Ivey. Have you seen those pictures of Cade Cunningham?
What up? Scruffy?
Yeah.
He looking like Delonte Wilson.
Those were fake.
Nah, but he oh, for real? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. He look a little heavy.
Of a current. Yeah, it was like, I think it was like earlier in the year. Like way earlier in the year, like during like when he was rehabbing his injury and everything like that, and he wasn't really playing, so he wasn't on the scene. And I think that someone had dropped a recent picture of him out in public, and he was fresh cut and clean.
Oh,
so,
God.
Yeah, no, he's fine. But I love Jalen Duran from last year. They made the move for Wiseman. I love that too. And they had another pick. I can't remember who it was. I can't remember the other pick, but that core with Cade, Ivy, Duran, and Asar, oh, you rock it.
Yeah.
And if you can get the best out of
Bagley?
Not Bagley. The big man from the Golden State I just mentioned, Wiseman. If you can transform him and he can tap into that potential that we know, like 7
don't they also
can
have
well,
block
here's everything. The only here's the thing that concerns me about him. They have who?
Jalen Duren. Don't they have that? Or no? Don't they have him?
Yeah.
Or no?
Yeah.
But here's the thing that concerns me about that Wiseman thing is Monty Williams just left a situation with a very talented but unmotivated center in DeAndre Ayton. Is he signing himself up for the same thing?
Wiseman's case. Wiseman's case is he's always injured. And like right. They needed production, and he just couldn't get it together because
he never had an opportunity to get on the floor and actually show you something because it was always go because we got to win the championship.
Yeah,
and that's kind of
he was in a
win
now team, and he was injury riddled, and there's no patience for that.
Yeah, so we got time, bro, for that.
We ain't got time to watch the process. That's 33-34. We can't watch the process with you, bro. You get either going.
We got time to watch this trade. That's what time we got.
Exactly. So both sides did deal with best. Now Wiseman is not under the pressure of having to develop so fast. He can grow and take his time and let his body, naturally progress. So if he can tap into all that talent that he has, Detroit's going to be special as well. I love Orlando's draft as well. Yeah, yeah. I drafted Anthony Black and Jet Howard. I love that. Both
I don't know about Jet Howard, but I like Anthony Black.
Jet Howard is nice. Sir. I've seen him play with my own eyes.
He's nice. I mean, I'm rooting for him. Don't get it twisted. I'm rooting for him. But I don't know how he fits on the squad.
My problem with you guys, you're too stacked with the same thing.
Exactly.
That's my issue with you guys.
But there was no point guard.
And the reason for that is y'all always picking top 10 for like 10 years straight. So like now you're accumulating too many young talent, and no one's you're gonna reach a point where you're stunning those growth.
I know,
because not everybody's gonna be able to get on the court and develop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's true.
Are coming in all at the same time. So now how are we all gonna get that PT to develop when we all can't be on the court? Someone has to run the pine, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So my opinion is you have to make a trade. You have to package up some guys and make a trade for a star.
I'm about to say, I think that they're the kind of team that can do that.
Or three players. Package up three good players. Boom, move them. Now, that opened up some minutes.
But let me ask you, who on in your opinion should it be?
I think you.
Because I don't want to let go of Mo. I don't want to let go.
I think the only thing untouchable is Wagner and
which Paolo. One?
The good one. Not the one that comes off the bench.
Franz? Okay.
Yeah. Franz, I think it's Franz. Franz the one that's
What are the Magic's needs? What are their needs to turn that
a
corner?
Center and well, I mean, I'm cool with our point guard, but I mean, if we can improve, we can improve.
Wendell Carter at center, honestly. He's solid. He serves his role. He does his job. I'm cool with that. I think you would go and get a star guard, either a two guard or a one guard. You package up some players and move him for that. Paolo's a lock; he's untouchable.
Yeah, Anthony but they
Black's
got
to coming in.
I'm gonna keep it real.
They have to be way better than whatchamacallit. They have to be way better than Markel is, because Markel's pretty good.
I think Markel should be the. If you get a two, then you keep Markel, make him the one. Cause I love Markel as well. I love him. I've always been a Markel fan.
Okay, yeah.
Always been. So if you can get a one, then move him. Or if you can put him on that six man role, let him run the second unit. I don't mind that as well. He's a great piece to keep as well, but he's not an unmovable piece.
If you're I think if you get in a two,
get it.
I think if you get in a two, and this will help out both teams. I would look to see what you can get for Zach LaVine. Reason I say it is because
that's 2 for 2. Hey, I love it, my brother.
Look, I would look to see what you can get for Zach LaVine.
I'm not mad at him.
He ain't old by a long shot. I think
he's smacking his prime.
Yeah. And it's a guy who has playoff experience. And look, Vooch, because of what you guys are stacked with, you can trade for depth and it works out well for the Bulls as well.
They're loaded with talent.
Yeah.
And Chicago's not going anywhere, so I figured Chicago might as well go into rebuild.
You may as well, because DeRozan probably going to be play out this contract and then go do his veteran thing.
He wants to win
a ready-to-made winner. Yeah, he wants to get a winner.
He's probably going to go after this contract and go to
He's going to have to come off the bench to win a ring.
Who, DeRozan?
Yeah.
I don't know about that because he's still almost a 30-point.
Nah, he's wild. He's wild.
You said he's gonna run off the rest of his contract.
DeRozan ends up in Milwaukee, that's a ring right there.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Middleton with DeRozan? Yeah, no, they're
terrible. But that's the thing. That Middleton's all but getting signed back. He just pretty much was freeing up more money for them to go do things. Yeah, which I mean, look. Yeah, and it's smart on both sides. It really is. But man, hypothetically, if he could be the one to get to Milwaukee, that'd be great for him. But yeah, I really would like to see the Magic facilitate something like that. And I mean, shoot, bro, let's keep it real. Zach LaVine and Paolo, that sells a lot of tickets, and that gets you a lot of games on TNT because that is box office. That is box office.
That's a lot of posters.
Yeah. Because you're gonna be fighting. Somebody gonna be fighting to be the second best team in the Southeast. So it may as well be y'all. You know what I'm saying? And far and wide, the second best team. Speaking of that, Jeff, let me go to you again. This is our resident NBA guy. What do you feel about John Collins getting traded to Utah.
I don't like it. Just because I like what Utah already had, I feel like now, once again, I don't like when teams get talent that will stunt the young guys. So they just drafted Taylor Hendricks, another guy that I watched play and we competed against. I was in our division in high school. He went to North Broward. He went to Calvary Christian and Broward that we had to play. Seen this guy play in front of me, complete stud. Like 6'10", can shot block, can shoot out the gym, extremely athletic, high motor, up and down the court all times, never stop. And I was telling my boy, I was like, bro, this kid might just be the truth. And to see him go to UCF and ball out and then be a top 10 pick, love it. And then he went 9th to the Jazz, and I was loving that. And then they went and made the move for John Collins, which is another stretch big. And I was like, bruh, it doesn't really make sense. And then you had Walker Kessler from last year who played really well for them. And then you already have Lauri Markkanen. Yeah. It's like now you're putting a lot of pieces that kind of play all the same role all together in one team. And it's like someone's going to end up taking an L here.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I hate when teams do that. It doesn't make sense. So luckily, free agency starts tomorrow. So there's a lot of moves to be made before the season starts in October. So
it starts at 4 p.m. on Thursday, doesn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. So hopefully this is not the last move. Hopefully someone else gets moved, regardless of who. Even if it's the rookie, even if it's Walker Kessler or Lauri Markkanen or John Collins get moves again, whatever it is, I hope one of the guys, they figure out a way to do it. Because it just feels like someone's going to just get the short end of the stick and end up taking an L. And with that big contract Collins got, I don't think he's taking that L.
So no.
It's usually going to be the younger guys that take it.
Yeah, and you know, ultimately we'll see. Let me see. What other teams kind of had a great draft or maybe a disappointing draft that you want to kind of highlight?
Disappointing draft?
Mm-hmm.
Probably Portland. I figure I don't think, even though y'all know how I am on Scoot, but I feel like Portland doesn't know what they want to do with their team.
Nope.
And this pick doesn't put you, it doesn't move the pendulum. It doesn't move the needle at all for you. Like, you're still right where you are. So I feel like they should have did everything in their power to move that pick and to get something back or to move Dame. One or the other. You did neither. So I feel like now
they still can. It's not.
Yeah, absolutely. There's still time.
But you don't want to be a team like Portland in a they still can kind of position going into a draft or going into free agency. Like, they had, and if I'm Dame, this situation kind of sells me on get the hell up out of there because they really don't know what they want to do. And, you know, at this point, you're 32. Dame is 32 going on 33. At this point, you ain't got but so much longer. And granted, you already made the NBA top 75, but if you're trying to solidify whatever it is you're trying to solidify, if I'm Dame, I am pushing. And I do mean pushing. I am pushing a way to Milwaukee. Like, I know people are talking Miami. Yeah, that's cool. But realistically, Dame is not the difference between a ring and Miami or not. I think Miami has other things they need to address. Yeah, I don't think so. Let me tell you why I don't think so.
Definitely think he is.
I'm going to tell you why I don't think so. Because it's not just on Dame. I think you really need to answer that center position because it.
Not really.
It, well, okay, cool. But for me.
Although it puts a lot of wear and tear, and it takes a lot of energy on Bam on the offensive end.
Exactly.
Our biggest issue in that series, and in both series, Boston.
Was y'all just couldn't score.
And Denver.
It was y'all was a good draft
where because in the playoffs you gotta understand, like, you can't keep running the same offensive set, and that's what I always say. In the playoffs, stars win games. You can be as well coached as possible. You can be as full of great role players as possible. But if you don't got a guy that can go get a bucket, you're done in the playoffs. Because at the end, someone's
and that's
even when you've seen teams like Detroit, when Detroit was so well balanced and they didn't even have any top tier stars, you still had big shot Billups when, like, you can say, Billup, go get us a bucket, and Billups will do that same right to left crossover into the pull up, and he can go get you his bucket. The problem is Jimmy was on one ankle, and he was being passive and hesitant, and no one else can go get a bucket.
And that's where,
and
that's,
we just went on a drought to where everybody's bouncing off a screen, screen. But guess what? After a while, after one or two games, Denver is well coached. We're gonna review tape. We know the double pin down is coming off this pistol formation, and the two guys are curling off these screens. We know it's coming. It works for the first couple of games. It may work a couple of plays, but at a certain point, it gets red. And now we're in your pockets, boy. We know your lunch code. We know what you're about to do. Ain't nothing more you can do to us. So now you got to be able to go on an ISO and get a bucket. And that's what they weren't able to do. And that was the difference between why Phoenix was able to get two games off of them. Because Denver could play as well as they can. But guess what? When Booker's coming down, going tween, turn around, fade, step back, three, there's no defense you can design for that. That's what you need at the end of the day. When they figure out everything you can do offensively, when they figure out what screen's coming after this, how you're going to do this pick and roll, who should hedge, who should stunt, who should flash, who should do all of this on defense, what's the guy you're going to throw the ball to and be like, all right, go bring us home? And with Jimmy Howard and Jimmy being hesitant, we just didn't have that. And game is that that's where, that can be like, I'm with you. I'm pulling but up that's 40. What you going to do about it?
I'm with you. Go ahead, Christian. I mean, really got much in.
That's what Hero was greatly missed, because he was able to create his own shot.
Facts.
And also,
with y'all.
And I'll even throw in Depot, too. That was a huge miss coming off the bench, too.
Yeah, it was. That's a potential 15 in a game that you're missing. And then Hero's another 20. So, yeah, you missing 35 points of offense that guys like Max Strus and them got to make up for. So, yeah. I'm with y'all. The only reason I say that it's not on Dame is because this. I don't think Dame is the singular answer, is because I know what I saw. And like you said, it wore out Bam to have to be the number two guy. But in a case like Miami, to me, has one of those teams that when you balance out the talent in all areas, I just think that they should dig for more than just going to get Dame. Like, Dame isn't going to equal a championship there. I think Dame, and then addressing what you have in the post situation, because Kevin Love, you can't rely on to be the rebounder. If he was, that'd be a whole different story. I would say strictly on Dame. But with the situation, I mean, Kevin Love's older. He ain't 20 and 20 K Love no more.
Yeah, so, you're not getting Minnesota kid.
Yeah, I just think that because of what you have required of Bam so much, it's not that I disagree with Dame being the difference in the points. It's just there were other things outside of not being able to score. It's that it's making the extra effort that much easier by having another body down there, having a legitimate body down there that kind of allows you to not have to rush everything, take your time, and not wear yourself out like they did. Like, I honestly thought that after the Knicks series, Miami looked gassed, but Boston played themselves into that game, into that going seven. Miami could have beaten them if they weren't as tired, a lot easier to me, but I just felt like they over-exasperated what they had in the tank. They just ain't have no guys. Like, you know, you're supposed to play an eight-man rotation in the playoffs. It's different when you play in an eight-man rotation and you down four guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's totally, totally different. So, That's really all I'm getting at. It's just, but I do agree that Dame changes things there 100%. It's just, I think that they need to focus on more than just that. That's all. But we still 2-for-2, Jeff. You know what I'm saying? We ain't gonna count that as a
no.
We two for two. But yeah, Isaac, if you didn't have any losers outside of Portland, we can kind of move off of the draft. What are some moves that y'all think that are going to happen? And let's kind of do a little bit of a now one thing
can
that
we
know
can we
for
stay in Portland our, if we
about to say, one thing that we, I was about to say I'm coming right to it. We're kind of known for the guys who, when the news breaks, we break the damn we break the glass. You know, obviously our infamous Kawhi episode, which I'm not gonna say it didn't amount to anything, but boy, that's a legend. But, you know, when things happen, you know, we on it. That being said, we know Dame is going somewhere. What's the other move y'all think, or some moves that y'all think will happen this summer that are gonna kind of be like, oh shit?
Carl Anthony Towns getting traded.
Woo! Dame's gonna end up in LA.
All right, bro. Come on, bro.
We were doing so good.
We were doing well.
Why can't that happen for me? Fuck y'all.
Because they just implemented the luxury tax penalty that's making teams break up.
Well, I'm gonna tell you one thing that happened today. He's not a for those of y'all that know, he's not a barn burner that sells tickets, but the Bulls bringing back Vucevic on a 3-year $60 million deal is really, really good for him. Yeah.
Get shot.
bringing back Vucevic 3 years, $60 million. But outside of that, I mean, you got Kyrie obviously saying that he's going today, announcing he's going to entertain free agents in meetings. So we'll see what happens with that.
I don't know where Kyrie going to go, to be honest with you. That's going to be an interesting one.
I heard he's likely to resign.
I've heard that too.
If we don't get Dame, we're getting Kyrie straight up. I promise you that.
You don't want right? Kyrie.
Why don't I?
Because you don't need a ball what? Dominant guard. Hold on.
Really don't. Finish.
You don't need a ball dominant guard who's going to take up that much of your cap that you cannot do anything else with because of Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Kyrie. That's too much of your cap. You need some other shit. I would try to go get Buddy Hield if I was the fucking Lakers. I would not try to sign Kyrie and deal with that fucking headache of him and all the bullshit he brings to LA. Nah, you don't want that.
What bullshit would he bring? Because he's already
playing LeBron. Thank you,
Kyrie.
Thank you.
No. See y'all. Yeah. See. Okay. Let's. Dell's approaching it. Me and Dell finna go one for one here on this. I get it. On paper, Kyrie, LeBron, AD is box office. It sells jerseys. It sells tickets. Whoop de whoop.
It's won championships before.
No, it won championships almost a decade ago.
LeBron won one with AD a couple years ago.
You stretched it a decade ago.
Bro, my son is going to be decade. 8. My son going to be 8 in a couple weeks, brother. That was almost 2016, bro. Okay, what are we? 25. Okay, bro. Cool. 7 years ago.
Relax.
Round it up, it's a decade. The bottom line is...
God damn.
Round it up, it's a fucking decade. Like, are we serious right now? Like, if you got $27, nigga, you basically got $30. Like, come on.
Like, come on, man. Like, let's cut the shit.
Like, bro, that was not yesteryear, pal. No.
Hey, you owe me $24.50. Yeah, it's about $30. You can slide
it
over.
But no. $24. It's 27.
$24.50, nigga, I need my $5.
I need my $5. Hey, you feel, bro? If you know what I'm saying?
$27. All right.
That shit has 12 quarters, nigga. That's $10. Well, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? But my point is this, man. At the end of the day, it's like this, bro. I feel y'all. But what the Lakers were missing, what you do, you see what worked in the second half of the season, because that's the team you're really going in with. And you address where you were lacking. Where the Lakers were lacking was size in the post, and they were lacking I'm going to tell you why I think so. Because if you had rebounders, you could have done a lot more to fight for what you were lacking against Denver. I'm not saying that the Lakers could beat
Absolutely.
Denver. That ain't what I'm saying. Okay, so what say you need the issue?
I think the biggest issue was, and it's similar to what to call it, to Miami's issue with Denver, defending, Joker takes a lot.
So that's my point. That's what I'm getting.
It drains AD, but my issue is you needed that guy to step up who was being left open. And he wasn't doing anything. So I feel you just need that reliable shooter. And that's why I'm not mad at the, what's it called it? I'm not mad at the Kyrie move, because D'Lo sold that shit. He played absolutely horrible.
I got you.
So the time where
he played like dog shit
to save, he played like complete dog shit.
Yes.
No, I'm with you.
Kyrie, I know I'm not going to get that out of.
I'm with you. The only thing that I feel you on that side. The thing that I'm on harking back to on the issues of where they were lacking was, if you have that size and you have that presence, if you have that size and presence that you can get for cheap, I think you can do the Buddy Hield move, like like Dell said, you can do the Buddy Hield move. You can go get you post guys. Like, look, man, you can go get guys like a Dwight. You can make some plays and get a guy like a Mitchell Robinson from the Knicks. You can do some things that would bring side. I don't really. Miles Turner isn't a great rebounder enough for me to want to make the play after a while. Like, I've not really thought about that. I know that they were talking about it, but Miles Turner don't turn the cheek for me for what they need if they're trying to compete for championships. Like, they ain't trying to fight for the playoffs. This is a whole different thing. Now you got to start thinking about, okay, what happens if we face Joker in the last round? What happens if we face Giannis or Embiid in the playoffs? Where are we going to get beat? You got to do that because you already passed that stage of making the playoffs. Like, true be told, the team that they were from February on, they're a top four seed in the West, maybe five. But the playoffs or the championship is very viable for them. So at this point now, you got to do it and change things to the next level. I would try and get a Buddy Hield. And if you're going to get a point guard, get a cheaper point guard that comes with less crap, like a Fred VanVleet. Do something like that. Kyrie, as much as I love him in his box office, I just think that there's better moves you can make for your locker room. There's better moves you can make for the basketball court, especially from the defensive side of the ball, when defense and threes is how you won your last championship. So we'll see. And that's the kind of coach that Darvin Ham comes from being, is defense and threes. 3-and-D, that's what Milwaukee was winning on. Well, 3-D in the midi, but still. So, you know.
You can always get a little bigger in the backcourt to in your front court to help bolster up for playing Denver. But you need a healthier AD. That's going to be crucial. I think you bring back that roster. You replace
D-Lo. Let's be honest. Can you be confident you're going to get a healthy AD?
I don't think you can be confident.
There's no confidence in that.
What's going to be considered getting a healthy AD? Half the season? If he plays half the games?
Hey, as long as the healthy part is coming through the back half of the season, I'm cool.
Yeah. If like, I'll take 30, injuries on Christmas.
But plays the last, that. Plays the last 50, that's a success.
Yeah.
So you just need him healthy for that playoff run. Like, completely healthy.
Yeah.
Completely healthy and in rhythm.
But I also don't want to forget what they have on that bench. I think Rui getting a full year with them.
Bro, Austin Reed, I think that's why full I year with them. Run back that roster.
Yeah. And let's not forget, they got Mo Bamba in there, too. And Mo Bamba didn't get to play because of injury. Oh, but, you know, injured. Yeah.
And I'm not expecting a lot out of him, but you never know.
I'm not, but if he can be the cheaper option down in the post that I was talking about, and you don't have to go get somebody, you can go and make facilitations for getting a Fred VanVleet or something like that. But you also have to be able to work with the money.
Depends on what you're about to pay Austin Reed.
Well,
going to determine if you can get
didn't they just make Rui a restricted free agent? I just saw.
Yeah, both him and Austin
Rui restricted and free agents. But what to call it? They're still allowed. Receive offers from other teams,
right? It's just the Lakers have a chance to match it.
Now the Lakers have a chance to match, so they're not officially.
I don't know what
the Lakers are going to be able to do, and free agent depending on the type of contract they sign.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rui's he's
you need Rui back.
I think he's poised for a jump next season. So I'm excited for
absolutely.
Him.
Yeah, I think he's found somewhere he can be comfortable. He can cultivate his game.
Dennis Schroeder, too. You need that back, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Got to get Dennis Schroeder back. Yes. So, honestly, the Lakers really may not need to do much with this roster except
saying,
health.
You don't really got to do much. That's what I was saying. Like, I just think you got to replace D'Lo. But besides that, bring the whole roster back. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
Bring that roster back and you're good.
All right. 3 for 3. we could be 3 for 3. Yeah, man. Was there anything else in the basketball in the NBA? Man, it's been an NBA heavy episode. But shoot, man, a lot happened, and we got a lot more to get to because y'all are getting all football for about all of July and August between all of our preview shows and shit. Yeah, this is about where basketball is going to be dropped off once we get the summer league.
Yep.
Yeah, once we get summer, which is next week, by the way. But yeah, so that's going to be fun. Let's see here. Was there anything else in the National Basketball Association.
Nah.
Yeah, no. Nah. I mean, other than that, I guess we're really going to have more reactions from free agency than anything. But I don't think this is going to be a 12-01 free agency kind of.
Hell
no. No, it ain't going to be.
This is going to be a 3 in the afternoon on a Wednesday.
Yeah, no, no. I'm saying as far as like, I don't think this is that kind of free agency where it's going to be blockbuster, blockbuster, blockbuster. And I want to see how free agency goes with this new CBA. You know.
Yeah, without going forward.
So, yeah, I want to see. So we'll see. Well, ultimately, we'll see. But boy, yeah. Well, let's head over to the gridiron. We can start over, with the news that came out today. Former Miami Dolphin. Make sure I got the numbers right. Former Miami Dolphin. Hold on.
Yeah, we starting off with the bum ass fans.
No, chill out. We starting out with the Patriots, man. Devontae Parker got a 3-year deal with the Patriots, worth up to $33 million.
Shout out to him.
Good fan.
I wonder, what does this do for the pursuit of DeAndre Hopkins?
I heard they got a contract offer on the table for D Hop. Well, D Hop has a couple of contract offers on the table. He's just weighing his options to see which one. Patriots are one of them, though.
Yeah. If you're him, would you go to the Patriots? I mean, that quarterback situation is real. You automatically
become the X. But you're in a hell of a division. You're in a hell of a division. So, I don't know. I don't know. I think he should go to what's called it, the Giants. But you know, I feel like that's the best opportunity. Like you get a better chance. That division, I don't think they're that far off. Honestly, I feel like they're being overlooked. But I like their defense. I like the moves they made on offense with Darren Waller. You got to get Saquon locked up. Their O line has made so much.
Are they still waiting to sign Saquon?
Yeah, and he hasn't signed that tag too. I believe he has until Friday to sign the tag.
They going to war.
Yeah, so
he hasn't missed as much football as I thought he did.
Yeah, no. So I mean, hopefully,
he had one season signed that he missed, and then game or two.
And he balled off last year too. So
he did.
Before we go any further, I want to send a rest in peace out to former Patriots QB Ryan Mallett. Speaking of the Patriots, died at 35 years old, man. Very, very young. Sad case. Huh?
I said, Suey. Rest in peace, man. To the Razorback.
Yeah, man, for sure. 35 years old.
That's bad in Arkansas.
He was, absolutely. He passed in the Gulf of Mexico in Destin. On a drowning,
like the panhandle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. That's terrible, man. But yeah, goodness gracious. Rest in peace to him. But that being said, what else do we have here in the NFL lately for the ticker?
Dalvin Cook as well.
Dalvin Cook, yes, Mr. Cook.
I heard Miami made an offer to him today. So
I've heard that too. But I heard he declined the visit.
Multiple offers. Also from the Jets, from the Bills. And that's three in the division. Ah.
Yeah. You know.
He's wanted. He has some offers.
Obviously, you got Dalvin Cook and Zeke out there as far as running backs. I think for him, the team that makes the most sense is either the Dolphins or the Bills. For me, I think one of those two, he's going into a winning environment regardless. And
Jets too, in my opinion.
Jets too. But I'm wondering, as a running back, how much burn is Aaron Rodgers going to try? Or is he going to try and do out there? That would his services would be well used. Because shit, on one end, you know, obviously he's going to want the ball. So I think he still thinks he's one of the top running backs in the league, and he is. But I think somewhere, wherever he's going, he wants to prove it. And he wants to play. Because if I'm a Dalvin Cook, I'm probably trying to squeeze whatever juice I can out and get one more big contract. Because, well, you know, you're nearing 27 years old. So this is really a exhibition year for him.
He's not going to be a workhorse anywhere.
No.
So, I mean, maybe, I don't know if he goes to Buffalo. Buffalo might make him. Well, he'll be teaming up with his brother. So he wouldn't even be a workhorse over there. So, like, I don't know if that's in his expectations. I think he's fully aware that wherever he's going, they're running a committee system. Run a committee system. The Jets are going to run a committee system.
I got a top five destinations from CBS Sports if you want to go through it real quick for him.
Let's go.
Number one is the Miami Dolphins, obviously a homecoming and just a competitive team. Hey, Jeff, I'm not going to lie. I know we slandered the Dolphins a lot, but let's talk football unbiased, right? On paper, wow. What a
Come
team.
On, bro.
I just want to reiterate
a wild statement I made a couple of years ago that I was strongly, you know, a believer of that y'all saw as a joke. I said within 5 years of us drafting Tua, we win a chip. And I stand on that.
Okay. It's not crazy.
It's not.
I'm gonna be real. It's not crazy.
Y'all laughed back then though.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course, bro. I mean, but let's be honest. It ain't insane. Everything is clicking for y'all. Real, right now. Huh? The only thing that I'm gonna say that I'm not convinced on. I'm sorry, Christian. You go right ahead, bro.
What I was gonna say, I've been saying it for the longest. After this whole offseason, the biggest X factor is gonna be Tua staying healthy. As long as Tua,
but that is the X factor. If Tua stays healthy on the trajectory he was on, I agree with you, Christian. He's top three in MVP conversation.
Oh, absolutely, and they're definitely Super Bowl contenders.
Now, that boy's talking.
Now that's not
actual sports guys when y'all ain't hating. No,
all right, so now that I can hate, man, fuck the Dolphins.
No, but seriously speaking, I think that you guys are poised to let's just say Tua plays 14 games. I could see 10-4 in those 14 games.
But he need to play in the playoffs too.
No, I'm talking about 14 in the regular season. I can see 10-4. In them 14 games?
I definitely see. No, I see 11.
I need him playing all 17 games, and I need us going.
It's hard for me to call 17 after the seasons he's had. It's hard for me to call.
Don't worry about it, bro. He bulked up this offseason. He got a full arm sleeve, so you know.
Well, yeah, because if it don't work this season, he going straight to join Roman Reigns as part of the bloodline, brother. Yes, sir. We joining the bloodline, baby. We the ones.
Hey, Earl said, it's a win-win for me. Shit.
It's a win-win for me. I'm going to see Tua for the next 10 years one way or another. I'm getting something. What did Denzel say? I'm leaving something. But yeah, nah, in all seriousness, like, I look forward to it because you can't hate Tua, right? He's not a bad kid. He ain't a bad guy in hell. The motherfucker was a stud in college. I'm a stud. So,
shout radio? Out to I mean, Tua?
Oh my God!
Come on, bro. Hold on. 135-26. 135-24.
You can never get up. One day. Jesus Christ. All right, and we're back.
That was the news.
We're back. So let me finish off the rest of the five real quick. So we had the Bills coming in at 2. We've already talked about them. And obviously his brother James Cook. They do have a loaded roster though. As far as running backs, they got
AFC, bro.
The Chicago Bears are coming in at number 3, obviously looking to replace.
I like that move, honestly.
Yeah, I do too. You know, it's not a bad look for them. But replacing guys like David Montgomery. Mm-hmm.
Gets to play his old team twice.
Arizona coming in at number four, having the cap space to acquire him. Ew. And they need a head running back behind James Conner. But I think that he would come in and be RB1. I like James Conner, but Dalvin Cook is better as a player.
Hell yeah, Dalvin Cook.
Absolutely.
And then the New York Jets round out of five. With Breece Hall coming back from an ACL tear.
But he's coming back from the injury. That's why I mentioned like there would be there wouldn't be a bad fit.
So
now you don't have to rush Breece Hall.
Yeah, facts. So, we'll see what happens. I think that it either comes down to either Miami, Chicago, though. But if he wants to be the guy, Chicago's not. I like it. And somebody like him could really take a lot of pressure off of Justin Fields when it comes down to those games getting real cold. That takes a lot of pressure off of him, man. So, shit. Mm-hmm. And he's already used to the weather anyway. It's fucking Minnesota. So, it's basically South Canada. It's South Canada. Like, let's keep it real. But yeah,
I want Scotty Barnes back home in Florida, but okay,
where for the Magic?
I mean, yeah, obviously. Well, not really. I think he works better at the Heat, though.
I would love him on the Heat,
yeah. Let's see what else, NFL news do we have here? Goodness gracious. The Cowboys are looking at possibly re-signing Zeke. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Everybody going into brother. What?
It was no news with Hopkins.
Yeah, I said, nothing yet because it's just speculation.
Yeah, you got a couple offers. I think the main two that have been talked about is the Titans and the Patriots for offers on the table.
Both trash offers. I wouldn't go to either one of those fucking teams.
Where would you want him?
What, the New England?
Well, I'm talking about from him personally. You know what I'm saying? Like,
nah, because he wants to win the ring.
Neither one of the that's what I'm saying. Neither one of those teams. I would like to see him with either the Chiefs, I like to see him with the Bills. If it's less about money and more about a ring, I feel like him and Stephon Diggs with Gabe Davis, bro, those three, that would be a nasty trio at receiver. That's really the main place. Honestly, I feel like if they had enough money, because I Baltimore don't spend no money nowhere. I feel like they do have enough money. Him, that rookie they had last year, and Odell Beckham.
That'd be another
along with Lamar Jackson. I mean, so and Mark Andrews, that'd be scary.
I think that shuts up every
to go around.
What I mean, they had Travis Kelce and
Tyreek Hill. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? We just talking about one more guy. The rookie. I mean, he's going in his second year. He can't expect if they bring a guy like DeAndre Hopkins along
into his third year.
Okay, but even if
and he showed a lot of promise. He just got injured. He just drafted Zay Flowers in the first round.
Oh, they did draft him. Oh, yeah, so he can't go there. Yeah, never mind. I'd like to I'd say the Bills. Yeah, that's really – maybe the Jets. Maybe the Jets will be a good look with Aaron Rodgers there.
Because you just got Miko Hardman.
I'm about to say,
There's levels of talent. We're not going to act like – I don't give a fuck – if you sign Miko, Hiko, Shiko, nigga, we're talking about DeAndre Hopkins.
That is insane.
That is insane. But yeah, I would go with D Hop though.
I'm just talking about
places where I could see myself possibly winning a championship. Because at this point, it's not about, you know what I'm saying, stats. We had stats in Houston. By now, you're far long enough in your career where you've made not all the money you want to make, but you've made your money. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now we talking about legacy. You know what I'm saying? So this is going to be your third team of your career. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and get that ring, bro. Fuck that. And I think that's why he's taking a minute, because this is a decision where he's really like, this is probably where I might get my last, you know what I'm saying, one or two contracts, and I'm trying to make that shit count.
Facts. Trying to make sure that landing spot's perfect.
Let me ask you guys a question as a round table. What do you guys, what's your views today on something that Nard just brought up. This is your third team. This is your X amount of teams. How do y'all view that today as maybe 10 years ago? In this era of business before the sport, I would say.
I think that the once social media came out and we got more, blew up. And it was more, you're into everything. You hear all the stories. You have a more inside look of everything. You see all this stuff in real time. Mm-hmm. People got a different feel of the ownership of the team and what the players were going through. So it was less about this person didn't play there for 20 years versus, man, they don't give a fuck about these players. You know what I'm saying? Now I want to see interesting sports. I want to see these two guys play together. I want to see this team. You know what I'm saying? We've grown accustomed to, in a way, wanting to see the best play alongside the best and see domination in a way. You know what I'm saying? People like super teams. So when guys move around, most of the time, it's to play with better players. Not very often do we see like Christian Kirk moves where you just go to Jacksonville at the time that was trash just clearly for the money because that was the team that was going to pay you the most. You know what I'm saying? We do see it sometimes, like what Tyreek Hill said. He went to Dolphins simply because they was going to pay him more. You know what I'm saying? So you do see that, but a lot of the times you see guys wanting to go play. Now, you see that less in the NFL because it's more of a team sport. You see a lot more in basketball with the super team thing, but I just think the overall scope of how people view ownership of teams make them care less about guys being loyal to one franchise. At least that's how I feel.
All right, anybody else?
No.
No?
Word.
Yeah.
Right, word. I guess what I was. I thought I was asking a more polarizing question.
Brother had a complete answer. What you want us to do?
Hey, man, he got it. He got it, bro. I ain't mad at it. Let's go to the next team.
And it's still a very long list of free agents too. I think I saw the list the other day. It's still a lot of guys out there, bro, that hasn't signed, bro. A lot of like notable.
When do training camps start?
That's a good question, actually. Let me see the training
July.
Camp.
Right
there. I know. They started having mini camps.
I just don't know when.
It's like late July. Oh, maybe July, somewhere like that. I know it's after.
All these computers were on. Let's look it up, guys.
All that time we was talking, you could have looked it up. Negro. Other people, God of God.
That's a good point.
Late July.
Okay,
July 26th, because different teams start at different times. So
correct.
I think
so. It sounded like last week of
July 26th. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. So
let me like a little break like until training camp starts. Wow.
Yeah. Crazy. The reason I asked it is because it seems like we're so far away from the end of the last season to the start of the new one that just all these notable free agents.
Okay.
This is a lot of guys like still not signed. These are top guys. Like,
yeah,
you know,
hold on. Let me go through this.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Carson Wentz, Eli Apple, Taylor Lewan, Ezekiel Elliott, Jarvis Landry, Marcus Peters, Juan Alexander, Kenny Golladay, Leonard Fournette, Casey Hayward, Ndamukong Suh, Carlos Dunlap, Melvin Gordon, Mercedes Lewis, Ronald Darby, Logan Ryan, George Fant, Yannick Ngakoue, John Johnson, Jadeveon Clowney, Kyle Van Noy, Robert Quinn, Shelby Harris, T.Y. Hilton, Trey Flowers, Bryce Callahan, William Golston, Cameron Brate, Jerick McKinnon, Kenyon Drake, Miles Jack, Melvin Gordon, N'Keal Harry, Artie
Brown,
Daron Harmon, Anthony Barr, Roger Saffold, Kareem Hunt.
Damn, Dalton Anthony Reiser, Barr's not signed?
Nope. Justin Houston, Robbie Gould, Daryl Henderson.
Damn, hey, Justin Jones. Houston was just doing his thing with the Ravens.
Yup. Byron Jones, Gabe Jackson, Eric Fisher, Teddy Bridgewater.
Damn.
All big names.
That's a lot.
Wow. That, that you could build a team off of that.
literally, my boy dropped it in our chat. And he was like, yo, you could literally make an expansion team out of that. And these guys are competing for a wild card.
Yo. Man, that's a lot of NFL players with nothing to do on vacation until
one guy who I don't think gets a job possibly or is definitely going to practice squad is Melvin Gordon. I think he's fucked up too many times as far as fumbling the ball. He fumbles it too much.
Way too consistent with the fumbles, bro. And they're always worst time possible.
And you feel me? And it's not the type of fumble. They're not even getting these fumbles back. Like, this thing is losing fumbles.
Loss of possession in the goal.
Yeah, it's terrible. So I don't think he gets one. But
okay. Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, that's just too many names for us to go through. You'd say, oh, where do you think this person? But what I will say
that
is
one just stuck out to me as he was going through. I know he's not getting a fucking.
Yeah, job. No, I'm with you. I'm just saying from an aspect of, you know, what I will say is I literally heard every name you said. There's a team out there for every last one of those players that they address something that those teams need. So the good part is there's not a lack of talent out there. To where we'll probably see consistent bad play from a lot of teams. But this is stacking up to be a hell of a good season on paper for about three quarters of the league, at least, maybe more. This might be one of the higher records as far as like, I don't see a lot of teams that suck in the NFL. Like, even if you look at guys like the Texans and even Carolina, like, yeah, they may be outliers as far as, you know, they're young and they got a lot of pieces that they're just getting drafted, but okay, cool, they're doing some kind of progress. I don't see any teams that are like, remember the Lions used to be the dog water of the NFL. The Lions are competitive now. All four teams in the NFC, quote unquote, least are competitive now. So the AFC East, it used to be the Pats. The
Commanders still got to prove that shit.
I hear you, but the Commanders almost made the playoffs last year.
That's like, true, and they didn't have a quarterback.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, I'm just talking about on paper going into the season, bro. It's not a lot of bad teams out there. Like, hell, y'all were coming off of a Super Bowl run. Now, you cast in everything to do it, but y'all were coming off of a Super Bowl run last year. So, you know, we got a few divisions where at least two teams should be vying for the playoffs, if not more. So it's going to be a really good season on paper. I believe so. But
I wonder if the NFC South is going to be as bad as it was last year, though.
That's the outlier. That's the one that I'm like, that's the three quarters of the league.
Terrible last year.
It was bad. Bad. It was so bad. Didn't the Bucks win under 500 and win the division?
I think so.
Yeah.
I was about to say, weren't they 8-9 or something like that and won the division? Yep. Yeah, it's pretty bad. So
that division stinks, and it's going to be the worst division in football this year.
Yeah, for sure. But maybe what's his name?
Oh, Bryce Young.
Not even Bryce Young. What's it called? Maybe Carr. What's bro from the Browns? Baker Mayfield. Maybe he does something in Tampa and gets some contending. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I doubt it.
Maybe. I heard him and Kyle Trask has looked like mid.
Probably. No, they don't look like mid, nigga. They look like ass.
Mid might be nice. Let me see.
Yeah, I didn't have the Lions to win that North convincingly, too.
I think so, too. I think it's the year they put it all together.
Bears, Packers, and Minnesota. Vikings.
You don't think it'll be a little competition with the Vikings? Not the Vikings. Vikings, no. They lost Dalvin Cook and
it'll be close, but I think there'll be 2-3 games ahead of them.
I like Chicago to win that division.
It's not crazy. Chicago's put a lot of things together, but
I don't think the Vikings realize how much they're going to suffer without Dalvin Cook.
Oh yeah, 100%, 110%.
Because then you're putting it all on Justin Jefferson. So,
like, yeah, because you don't have Adam Thielen there either. Or exactly. Who was that tight end they had? Well, Stephon Diggs. Well, Diggs has been gone for a couple of years, but.
But they did draft Jordan Addison.
Okay. All right.
I like him out of college.
Yeah.
They're going to take a hit.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I don't have much else to reach for in the NFL. Shit, I didn't really have much to reach for anything else.
So now we got some rankings, but we'll do that next week. I don't want to drag this one too long.
Yeah, you know, after next week, once we do free agency with the NBA, we're pretty much gun-ho for football for the next. Yeah, you know how that's gonna go. it's about to be. Yeah, I can smell the bratwurst off the grill already. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's football season, baby. Oh yeah. But yeah, man. Shoot. Well, we got about an hour and a half clicked in here, so I'm cool if y'all cool. You know what I'm saying?
It's been a good one.
Yeah, it's been a good one. Happy Juneteenth to everybody. We missed that, but and then going into 4th of July. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. We missed that too. So yeah, happy Father's all the Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Happy 4th of July.
Especially fathers that stepped up like Jeff.
Yo, Dale. I know where you're going. I know you're
going.
Don't
slander me on the.
Come on, bro. But yeah, bro. That being said, enjoy y'all 4th. Be safe. Play with fireworks safely. Cook on the grill safely. Don't do it. I knew somebody's gonna do it. Come on, man. He may or may not listen to this podcast, bro. Man, come on, man. Chill out.
Well, he knows it's true, nigga. He don't want you to do it either.
I mean,
enjoy y'all 4th, man.
Hey, Jeff, say that in Haitian. So.
Enjoy y'all 4th, man.
Bro, close the pot.
Until next week, we'll see y'all. We out. Peace.
Peace. Yeah, niggas are tired.
Is insane.
One of the early ones, man.